Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Chode House. This is episode number 5, and with you is Ethan, D, and Snow. Welcome again. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy. And
yeah.
So to give an intro here, this probably won't be what we talk about for the entirety of the episode. But it really bothers me. So if anybody listening here also listens to Joe Rogan, I don't know if how these two podcasts would even be close to each other. So I can imagine.
Tell him we love him.
Yeah, tell him we love him.
Joe, that's a good podcast. I don't want to interrupt you, but I used to listen to it. I've not listened to it as much since he went to Spotify, because I don't have a Spotify sub and I don't like ads. So I don't really like the ads on Spotify.
I don't sub either. But he recently did an interview with Sanjay Gupta, and I don't even know what he is in relation to CNN.
He's the chief medical correspondent.
Oh, okay. Oh. I didn't know that either. I thought I recognized him from something else.
I came out of nowhere with you on that one for y'all, didn't I?
Thank you.
All right. So that's what he is. Keep going.
And so he was on the Joe Rogan show. They, of course, talked about COVID. And they talked about vaccinations. They also talked about Joe Rogan having COVID and his treatment and CNN's portrayal of Joe Rogan and the treatment. And he even played the clip on the show while he was talking to Sanjay.
You mean about the horse dewormer?
Yeah. The clip where CNN was saying that Joe Rogan had taken horse dewormer, which they're referring to ivermectin. In this case, ivermectin, it's like to have a callback to a Mitch Hedberg joke. You don't call a sponge by its real name, or you don't call a cheese grater by its real name, Sponge Ruiner.
Right? I love Mitch
Hedberg. Because it's not, it's not as pleasing, but. You know, so if you wanted to make it sound worse, you call it a sponge ruiner, because that's what it does some of the time. But most of the time, it grades fucking cheese because
hold on. Let's focus back. I want to, because I don't know about this. I'm coming in as empty as the three people listening to this.
Okay.
So tell me what's happening.
The reason that I brought this up was because CNN was saying that Joe Rogan was taking horse dewormer, was taking a medication for farm animals, and he played that on the show, and he was asking Sanjay, how he felt about the company that he works for being liars.
And he made it a point to really stick that. It's like, no, they wasn't wrong. They wasn't confused. They didn't accidentally. They lied. They knew it.
So hold on. A little bit of confusing pronouns. You mean Joe made a point to stick that, right? Not Sanjay.
Yes, Joe. Okay. Joe made a point to stick it because Sanjay tried to play it off. It's like, well, they weren't trying to misdirect or
he knew
to mislead. He's like, no, they lied. They knew it. He said it borders on defamation. I believe it's defamatory.
Yeah.
And Sanjay really shut down on that one. He was like, well, I don't know if you can call it defamatory. He's like, no, I think you can. I think it is defamatory.
Yeah. Okay, so what was the actual? Because I'm assuming there was a response by Sanjay, or we wouldn't be talking about it. He say he had to have said more to it than it's not defamatory, right? Did he offer an opinion?
They quibbled over a little bit. Sanjay kind of took he picked the low hanging fruit because Joe made the claim that they were gleeful about.
So it was just semantics.
Well, and then Sanjay was like, well, they weren't gleeful. He tried to stay on that for a little bit, and Joe wasn't having it. And Joe was like, well, it doesn't really matter if they were gleeful or not. You know, the point is they lied. That's the point here. And Sanjay was just like, well, the best Joe got out of him was, well, they shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
That's all he
yeah,
got.
Yeah. That's what I just
that,
that's
that
what
was
I just listened to.
Most as he could get was they shouldn't have said that. So Sanjay really goes in on him, though, in my opinion, because I was talking to a family member about this, and I said the whole point of this, the entire point of this podcast, him coming on there, was to reach out to the dummies, reach out to the little people, the unclean, the unwashed, the, you know, that you need to go ahead and get your vaccine, dummy.
Well, he also has a book deal. I found that in the 10 seconds.
Oh, does he?
That's why he was on there. Yeah,
it's
so he
money.
Has a book.
It's always he, money. God dang man, it. Why don't I ever listen to myself?
That's why a lot of people go on Joe. I'm not trying to be funny or pessimistic. I mean, that's the deal, right?
And no,
Joe
that's gets, it. Joe it's 100%. It's always fucking money. God,
yeah, it's
God,
World War C.
Known.
World War C is in Charlie. That's Sanjay's book. So oh, that's coming.
I
should have
known,
coming
Ethan.
Out. Yeah.
No. I should have known.
I'm not saying that he wasn't also, maybe he was trying to do his whole, I want to look how cool I am, look how nice
carrying
I am,
water
trying
for
to help
his...
the little, yeah. But I'm sure, because I'm sure at some point in the podcast, Joe usually gives, because if you'll notice, a lot of people get shout outs by Joe. Like, they don't talk a lot about it, but they'll talk maybe 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes about their book or their movie or whatever. So I'm sure at some point.
Plug.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure at some point he got a plug in for his book.
So another thing was how CNN how CNN was framing it. Okay, so Sanjay Gupta goes into the lion's den.
The lion's den, the hard hitting
yeah,
journalism
Joe
that
Rogan.
Is Joe Rogan.
Oh my! Do they not know they're complimenting him? Like, do they not understand that they're making him seem better than he is? And don't get me wrong,
seriously.
Don't misunderstand. Again, the three listeners we have. I'm a Joe Rogan fan. I think
same. I like Joe.
I don't like when he gets a little bit political because I do feel he's a fence rider. I'm not agreeing with what I know CNN's made some comments about that recently, and Fox News has, I think, as well. Not referring.
What?
I don't agree with their yeah about how he's how he changes. Like he uses his platform for bad, and he changes based. He's a chameleon, and he won't ever give you his real opinion.
Fox News and CNN had the audacity to make such a claim.
Yes, yes, they both did. Obviously, slanted towards their direction. But so I don't think he does that. But I do think he's become more of a fence rider with certain issues, and maybe it's out of self defense. I don't know. Who fucking knows? I don't really care that much. So I say that to say I'm a fan of him, but I would hardly call him a hard hitting journalist. He's not fucking. What's the we can't stop here? It's Bat Country. What's that famous the Gonzo journalist guy?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, he is not Hunter S. Thompson. So if CNN is portraying Sanjay Gupta as going into the lion's den, I didn't know that either.
The
that is
lion's
fucking
den.
Hilarious.
The lion's
hilarious.
Den.
It's like, man, but, how can anybody watch this and take this shit serious?
But what they do by that? Sure. They give credence to Joe Rogan and his show, but they also set Sanjay up as this lamb, this meek, innocent lamb that has walked into the lion's den to
offer himself up. It's tribute.
You know, it's tribute.
God.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Man, he made a boatload of money because now more people are going to buy his fucking book that I didn't know about 5 minutes
ago. So, let me, I'm not going to play devil's advocate, but it's going to sound like it. Just bear with me. So, I agree with what you're saying, Ethan. Kind of paints him, you know, it does, in my opinion, I think it bolsters Joe's credibility more than it should, or more than maybe he warrants sometimes. But, you're right, it also does, on the flip side, make Sanjay kind of seem like the underdog. I guess, or the meek lamb, but why? So I'm gonna generalize and play party lines for a second. CNN is a leftist democratic focused news network. That's what they focus on. So classically, those people don't view themselves as meek. They view themselves as very assertive. They're intellectual. They think things through. They know this and this. They're they know what they need to do and they go and do it. So what's the game? I mean, what do you gain by building someone up as meat? Like that's almost more of a stereotype of like the quiet Southerner or, I don't know. I can't think of another example, but
well, no, no. If you go back and you know read the story of Daniel in the lion's den, so it wasn't. I guess meek is a bad word, right?
Because okay, I probably just misunderstood you.
No, I did say meek, but that's a bad word to use.
It is a bad word
because. Biblically, Daniel certainly wasn't meek. He went into the lion's den fully aware, but faith kept him safe.
So right. You're saying they're playing the instead of faith,
but
that they're playing the facts and logic kept him safe. Like he went in armed with the real science, and
he went in armed with the truth,
quote unquote real science, quote unquote right. truth, and he went down to take this blasphemer, this charlatan right. and yes. to dismantle him.
Yes.
This horse dewormer sucking ingrate.
So what else? Yeah. So what else did they talk about besides ivermectin? Because I know that's a big topic. It can't have been 3-hour podcast on ivermectin. So what else did they talk about?
No, God, no. No, well, hell, I mean, both videos, we watched two, and that's a total of, what, 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
of a 3-hour podcast? So, I mean, I love how he lamented about how long he had to talk. It's like, yeah. It gets really, it is hard but when you have to defend yourself for 3 hours, three whole 60-minute hours. You have to defend yourself. Oh my fucking God, that must be miserable. How did you do it? You are a god dang hero.
That's disingenuous as well for him to portray it that way, because
that's the way it was portrayed. Changed.
Well, I don't doubt you. I'm just saying that's disingenuous of him, because Joe never made timetables. Like he's always been a, you know, I want you to come on. He'll set a cap on it, right? He won't let it go for 6 hours. But he's never been, we have a minimum.
Unless it's Alex Jones, it's uncapped. Let's go.
It's always been, let's talk for as long as we have things to talk about, and let's keep it going. So it's not like Sanjay went in there and Joe had an armed guard at the door that has a clock that says, oh, it's not 3 hours yet. You can't leave. You can leave.
Yeah, they were just doting on him a little bit, like, oh, I don't know how you did it for three hours.
Yeah,
how you are so patient. I don't know how you were able to stand, you know. And the implication here is, how are you able to stand such ignorance in the face of truth and blood? It was just so, just like, oh my fucking God. This who watches this and believes it or enjoys it is. I can't help you. If you're listening to this, turn it off, because I can't help you.
Because... So do we think that they're think strategically. I think they're trying to, you know, they're trying to sway opinion. I mean, from what you can tell, does it look like he quote unquote won, or Joe won, or no one won?
I didn't watch the whole thing. It was just a waste of time. I didn't watch all 3 hours.
I didn't watch the whole thing. So they did talk about myocarditis.
Heart inflammation.
Yeah, they did talk about that. You know, Joe Rogan had, you know, made the point that, or he was comparing himself to a child, because that's you know, something that Joe brought up that he was afraid of, was that, you know, they're going to start pushing this onto children next. And, you know, Joe Rogan was like, you know, I don't think that, you know, why would a child get this? Because, you know, they have a very good chance of beating it. And, you know, Sanjay had brought up the point, and, you know, he was like, well, what do you mean by, you know, beat it? You know, just not die, or, you know, have long-term effects from COVID, which is a valid point. I don't know what, you know, the long-term effects of having COVID are on children. I know that they won't die. You know, there's a very low rate of child death with COVID. But he did bring that up. You know, Joe Rogan had, you know, he had also brought up that you know, he felt fine, and you know, anybody that is, you know, within his age range who takes relatively good care of themselves, you know, no comorbidities, that type of thing, you know, they don't want the vaccine because they feel that they'll be okay if they get it, and they'll be better off because they'll have, you know, a better immune system after getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a question Goop the Dodge too. The whole, you know, if I've already had it and survived it, why do I need the vaccine? Because now my immunity is better. And so, that was actually, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No. I didn't hear you. I'll keep going, please. That was what?
Well, that was a question that Dr. Fauci himself dodged. They asked him, like, why do people who have had it and survived it need this? And he said, I can't answer that question. Next question. He just fucking just went, nope, not answering that. Next. Because, I mean, think about it. Everybody knows if you actually get it, survive it, then yeah, your immune system is custom honed, right, to deal with it now. That's what immune systems do. That's what
it is, but
vaccines used to do.
But the vaccine won't make that worse. I'm not arguing for it. I'm saying, like, to address the specific point. Like, if you get, you're 100% right. If you get something, as long as something your immune system can make antibodies for, there's like a handful of diseases and viruses we can't, because they mutate constantly, they change. But as long as it's something that you can make something, an antibody for, yeah, your immune system knows how to fight it. As long as you don't die, or as long as it doesn't compromise your immune system permanently somehow, then yeah, you're going to learn how to fight it. However,
right, that remains to be seen. We know it doesn't help, though, is the thing. We know once you've done had it, it doesn't help. It doesn't make anything better. But it also introduces risks from the vaccine itself.
Yeah, again, I'm not arguing for it. I'm saying that for vaccines in general, if you get a disease and you naturally get it and fight it off, that you don't lose that custom immunity, like you said, by getting a vaccine on top of it. It doesn't replace it. It's not like a...
But it doesn't help it either. It doesn't bolster it. It doesn't improve it. It adds zero.
For COVID, no, I don't think it does. For the flu, it does, for example. For COVID, I don't think it does. I don't think there's data that shows that. Again, not arguing for it, but... For the flu, it does actually. Like, if you, like, that's kind of a weird one. That's one people compare a lot to COVID, right? It's like, well, it's the flu. Well, it's
COVID's
not the flu.
So,
yeah, agreed. But it's that's one that's interesting to me to think about, is how it, from the more of the standpoint of how our bodies work and how we fight things off and how vaccines work. Because if you get the flu, like, you can have the flu.
Flu is a generic term, though. Flu is a generic term, just like cold. Like, cold
is
a generic
term. I'll specify influenza HZ19 or whatever.
Okay,
I mean,
you get that specific.
I mean
specifically vaccine, then yes.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, though. I'm not trying to do a catch-all. I meant specifically the flu of the year, because it always mutates.
Right.
So specifically that one.
So the vaccine is for SARS-CoV-2.
Yeah,
that's what the vaccine is for.
But not the variants, just the, well, there's like the booster allegedly for those. Well, I know. We have to speak with words that are used. I mean, doesn't mean we agree with them, but just talking about it, right? Mm. There's the original. I think there's just Delta and Mu, however you say it. And that's the only two I've heard about. But my only point was, again, I'm not saying it happens with the vaccine because I don't think there's data to show it, but I don't know. If the argument was, I don't know if this was the argument you were going for. I don't know it's accurate to say that my body fought it off, so the vaccine will make that. It sounded like you were almost saying if your body fought it off and you get the vaccine, you're going to ruin your body's hard work.
No, there's just no point in it.
Okay. Well, I misunderstood that.
It's literally, you're pissing in the wind, you're wasting your time, and you are exposing yourself to risk from whatever else is in the vaccine that is preservatives or things that you may be allergic to but don't know, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's no medical reason to get the vaccine once you have had COVID and survived it. There's no reason at all. But the messaging is, and Gupta said this exact thing. He said once you've had, even asked Joe Rogan. This is what blew my mind. He asked Joe Rogan point blank. He said, "All right, you've had it. It wasn't so bad." He said, and so now you're on this side of it. So what's to stop you now from getting the vaccine? Getting one dose. One dose. When he knows that one dose isn't enough. All right, with right. majority of the vaccines. It's two. Two.
Yeah, minimum.
And then you
two.
Can call yourself quote unquote fully vaccinated. Right? Right. But he said one dose. It's like, what is this? This isn't about health anymore. This is about sending a message. This is a hearts and minds, you know, OIF, you know, scenario, right? OEF. This is we're trying to just convince people that something is worth doing, not because it's actually worth doing, but because we want them to do it.
Yep. There's that aspect to it. That's what's been confusing to me about certain employers that walked back on things about, you know, only get one dose and you're good. Or like you said, like apparently Sanjay saying that to Joe.
Yeah. Only get one He's dose like, just get one good. Dose. It's like, why?
Yeah. Why? I mean,
one dose yeah, literally why? Does nothing.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to say for a lot of medicine.
He's a doctor.
I'm not trying to say I am, but it is weird. Like for most things, not just the COOF vaccine, you wouldn't tell someone to just, if the regimen of something is 6 or 12 or 3.
Just take one antibiotic, please. Right. Just take one.
Right.
It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, definitely. That is different. Obviously it's different because there are different reasons not to do that. But in general, it's like, I'm agreeing with you. Why, if there's a regimen of something, it's almost right. universally accepted, to my understanding in medicine, that if we have a defined regimen, you need to do it all. And that's right. Now, obviously, there are exceptions. If you start it, you're deathly allergic. Okay, don't kill yourself. But it's provided you're not one of those edge cases, if it's a regimen and you start it, you need to finish it. And like in the case of antibiotics, you need to finish it because otherwise you get antibiotic-resistant infections. In the case of mm-hmm. vaccines, up until this one, you finish it because the vaccine is made in such a way that if you don't get the full regimen, again, not even talking about COVID just in general, because there are other multi-stage vaccines out there, and you get them that way because that's how they were designed. Like, why they were designed that way, I don't know. Maybe because your immune system needs time to get used to it. People smarter than me made them. So they made them that way for a reason. And it's weird that we're having this messaging now. And I think it is because I don't think that they expected the global cabal of the elite, I don't know, whatever joke term. I don't think they expected this much pushback for this long. I think they expected this much pushback. I don't think they're that naive. I think they're smarter than we think, unfortunately. You know, the idiots that run the government. That's just Democrats. That's everybody. I mean, all of them. They're all fucking.
That's true. Uniparty.
So I think that I don't think they expected people to stay on it this long, though. And so I think they're sensing, you know, you get to that breaking point where you want to push people, but you can't push them too far. You can't.
Well, I'd say they're pushing them pretty damn far.
I know, but I think they're starting to back off. There are reasons in America. Sorry. Let me hone it in. I'm talking about America only.
Okay.
I think there are things that are showing that they're not giving up, but they're backing off a little bit because they're
what makes you say that? Because I've seen no evidence of that. It's just been full frontal attack.
What we just talked about, it's not just Sanjay Gupta on Joe Rogan. That's becoming pretty widespread advice from a lot of doctors and talking heads, I guess, like government talking heads. Just get one. If you can't get two, just get one. Even though the CDC is now revised their guidance about the original vaccine, I think was like 9 months effective. Now they're like, it's only 2 months effective. It prevents death and hospitalization.
You know, that's fucking amazing. I've only ever had one smallpox vaccine. I've never got smallpox. Even that I got it 20 something years ago, almost. I still haven't got smallpox.
That's not amazing. That's not a like to like argument, but I don't.
You're right, because the shit they're doling out right now aren't vaccines. Drive on.
Well, smallpox doesn't mutate either, or variant. It's the same. It's very consistent.
Right,
I'm not saying
because
again,
COVID
not...
has animal reservoirs and mutates. Yes, you're correct. Smallpox doesn't. It has no animal reservoirs. It's just the only thing it's ever infected is human.
Yeah, I'm just saying that answers your question of why you got it once and you never get it again. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I never got it. I mean, I got a vaccine that actually works, and so I don't get smallpox.
Well, no, why you got the vaccine one time. That's what, because you were saying it's, I thought you were saying it's amazing. I only had to get this once decades ago, never again. And I'm saying it's not a valid argument to compare.
It's more on a hammer. It's a hammer on the definition of the word vaccine that they changed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think they're giving up a little bit. I think that the guidance is changing, and I think that they're pivoting away. I think the response to boosters has not been good, even on the side of people that were very pro-vaccine, because I think those people feel misled, and they should. I mean, I don't disagree with them. But I think they feel misled about the wording and how it's being portrayed, and I think some people are waking up to what appears to me to be a cash grab by Merck. Moderna, with the pill. Like, you have COVID, you take a pill, makes the symptoms go away. That whole thing that's getting emergency approval right now. I think people are starting to see.
That was Pfizer.
Pfizer-Mectin. Okay, maybe it's Pfizer. Either way, that doesn't change the argument. The point I'm making? It's people are starting to see it as a cash grab. But
no.
Yeah,
you know what's sad is if it really is, here's the fucking the comedy of this. If what Pfizer's coming up with, if it's actually a knockoff ivermectin, it's probably like 10 gorillion times safer than any vaccine, but people won't take it because then they'll see that as a cash grab and bullshittery, you know?
Well, I mean, would you take it?
I'm not taking any of it.
Well,
I'm taking literally none of it.
I think people aren't going to take it because I think that there's been too much damage done to public trust, period.
Rightfully so. The people should say, no, I'm vaccinated. Why would I take this?
Yeah. Why would I take this?
Well, it's meant to be if you have the symptoms, take it. not a prophylactic. I don't know
what they should have done with the vaccine. They're going to give it to you in a pill form. Now, granted, okay, that's probably not a very good argument there because, different medicines, depending on how you take them, can certainly have different effects on the body.
Yeah, so this is literally like comparing, this is like Theraflu versus the flu vaccine. I'm not saying they work. I'm not saying they don't work. I'm saying that that's how they're selling it. They've been consistent on that in the selling message, and that's how it's being portrayed. Yeah. I mean, you don't have people that if you choose to get the flu vaccine and still get the flu and you're miserable, are you going to sit there and just be miserable because you want to be self-righteous and say, well, I got the vaccine, why am I sick? No, you're going to fucking take ibuprofen or Tylenol or Theraflu, and you're going to feel better. So that's what they're portraying. That's my point. They're portraying this as that. This is not a prophylactic. This is not to boost the vaccine. This is not to do anything to the vaccine. This is if you get it, take it. Now, what it's made of, maybe it is just ivermectin. Like you said, maybe they're going to get into a big world of hurt when they try and pawn this off. I don't know. I don't know how, you know.
It's already slipped past the goalie. They're in. Already, they could say anything now, and there's so much cover that it won't matter what comes out after. It will all be ignored. I mean, unless they quit paying off whoever it is they're paying off now to get away with whatever they're getting away with now, because I mean, honestly, by now there's so many people who have got, it doesn't even matter, age groups or comorbidity, all that shit ignored by now. If you tried to release this with the old process, it would have been denied. You got to go back to the drawing board, go figure it out. Fuck you, eat shit and die. Right? It would have been pulled if they didn't have indemnity, but they have indemnity. You literally cannot sue them. So they're just going to keep shilling it, man. They're going to keep telling everybody it's fine because they literally cannot be held legally responsible for anything that happens. So they're just going to keep pumping it, keep pumping. They're going to pay off whoever they got to pay off, however much it takes, because it pales in comparison to the amount of dollars they get from all these quote unquote free vaccines. Mm-hmm. You feel me? That's the game. That's the game. That's the actual subsidied game.
I mean, I don't know who thinks that they're not getting paid for them. I've never met a single, I've not talked to a single person that doesn't know how much money Pfizer and Moderna are making from the government. Oh, and Johnson & Johnson. I always fucking forget them. Poor Johnson & Johnson. No one ever talks about them.
Pfizer alone made, what was it? Oh, how many billion? Was it third? Oh, no, five?
I think it's $5
billion.
Was it maybe it's over quarter? 10 total. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like $5 billion in the first quarter of this year.
Man, they got a blank check, dude. We can do what? Yep. And we never have to answer for it? Cool. Sign this contract and buy 10 gorillion doses.
Yep.
I mean, who wouldn't? Of course I would. But man, shame on our politicians for making such a deal.
In 2021, revenues of $19 billion.
Shit.
Just off the vaccine, or is that total?
That's total.
Okay.
Well, total. I mean, according to the, you know, going off the, it's hearsay, and it's what do you call it?
Circumstantial.
It's one guy's take on it. Anecdotal, we'll say. But that one Pfizer guy was like, no, we are completely COVID dependent now. Because all our revenues are COVID vaccine.
Yeah, they're
like most everything else.
Just to give you an idea, in 2020, the second quarter of 2020, it was $9.8 billion. In 2021, it is $18.9 billion.
We doubled it.
So they've stopped. So I'm not saying you're wrong. My pea brain doesn't understand why they would stop manufacturing processes for completely unrelated drugs, like why they would have to.
I'm not saying they're going to quit making insulin. No, I'm saying is they're just going to, all their efforts and everything is going to be on pushing the vaccine onto everyone and as many people as possible because A, they have indemnity. There's nothing anyone can do to them. They are in, it's like putting on body armor or putting in the hack to the game, you know, fucking God mode. No one can stop me now. No one can sue me. No one can take me to court and take money away from me. Now, all I got to do is the other part where I pay everyone to say what I want them to say. And then they just do that.
Yeah. I mean, why? So if they can't be in trouble for it, why even bother paying people off? I mean, you're wasting money.
Oh, because it's just marketing at that point. It's just marketing. Fear mongering and marketing. It's not an actual, I mean, they can't make you take it, but they can pay. They can pay who?
Sanjay Gupta to go on Joe Rogan.
They can pay Sanjay Gupta to go on Joe Rogan. They can pay legislators. They can pay Joe Biden and his son to go make an executive order. Hey, all these people, you will get it or we will throw you out of your job. So on, so forth, and the like. It's really simple.
Side note, one of Hunter Biden's paintings sold for $500,000.
I could slap my dick on a canvas and put that shit together with this fucking guy. Good Lord. I hate our media so much.
I'm surprised it's not an NFT.
It should be. Oh, we should do that. Make an NFT of it.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a retirement plan. No one copyright this. No, or no one steal this idea, rather. That's ours.
That's, trademark Chode House.
Chode House. Chode House team. Yeah,
I'm gonna mail myself. What's that advice your parents always gave you? Mail yourself a sealed envelope to your address.
Of your idea.
Yeah,
that's legal. That'll work.
Yeah, there's some boomer logic there. All right, so let's pivot. It's enough about this. Why is Superman bi? All right, well, so the BBC.com, not Big Black Cock, but British Broadcasting Company, has an article that says DC Comics revealed that latest Superman character is bisexual. I actually thought, when we were going to talk about this, I thought they were saying Superman was bisexual. Apparently, it is his son.
It's his son.
The son.
I thought he was sterile and couldn't have a kid because, you know,
well, you know, timey-wimey comic book stuff. So there's a new storyline, Superman, Son of Kal-El. And it follows John Kent as he takes on the mantle of Superman from his father, Clark Kent. They made the announcement on National Coming Out Day because, they're not doing this for money. They're definitely doing this to raise awareness and be nice people. Good job, DC Comics.
Definitely care about bisexual people.
Jesus. This is, honestly, as a sidebar, I'm being serious here. If I was gay or if I was a minority and this was what I got, this was the representation I got, I'd be fucking
livid.
Furious.
Livid.
And I've
completely
heard that,
ignored.
Yeah, this is not, they don't give a shit. This is money. They want woke points and they want money, and it's fucking ridiculous. And so listen to what's happened. Then we're going to talk about it. I got to finish this because it's okay. It's like I made it up. It's too perfect. I'm quoting the BBC article. Since the series was released in July, John has already fought wildfires caused by climate change, scuppered a high school shooting, and protested against the deportation of refugees.
Oh my fucking god! Are you
it's
so?
Like,
he's just
like
Antifa.
They went to Twitter.
He's just like Democrat talking. Not to, I'm sorry to have to just drop the party names, but it's like really, we're really just gonna take the. He's protesting with the Democrats on everything, or Antifa, or whatever.
That's
really.
What I mean. It's like they went to Twitter and sorted hashtags, and they're like, "All right, writers, write Superman's son around this
How
hashtag.
Fucking
you have to hit every
lazy.
Hashtag."
How absolutely lazy! I tell you what, it's just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's absolutely pathetic.
I just
do better. Do better, DC.
Why? What's the refugees? Seriously, refugees. what's the end game here? Because and hear me out. Take that question seriously. Because it's not. They're not getting the payout that they think they're getting, right? So they do XYZ. Let's say this gets pushed through, right? We're going to look at data. I'm making stuff up for the sake of argument. Someone can find me in 3 months and tell me I'm a fucking idiot or I'm wrong. But they're going to do all this. They're going to, you know, burn out their writers, do XYZ, try and cash in on the flavor of the week thing on Twitter for hashtags. And then their sales aren't going to rise. Or they're going to get shit on by the non-genuine LGBT whatever Q community, the people that don't want real representation and just get on Twitter to jerk themselves off, you know, they're gonna say, well, you're not woke enough. Well, yeah, it's great that Superman's son did this, but why is he also not transsexual, and why is he also not doing this? It's not about actual representation for those people. It's about, you know, you always have to jump the bar up a little bit, right? The bar is here, like, let's jump the bar, but it's a race to seem better. It's about self-gratification and seeming like you're better than your neighbor. It's not about
Bert,
being
you say
fair.
That, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So why there is data to show that it doesn't work. Like series that come out and try to do this, they do not outperform the original series, and a lot of times they do worse. There's a lot of data across all media forms for the past, because this has been more and more popular the past, let's say, 5-6 years. And it doesn't work. So why are they still doing it? From a business perspective, they are not winning with this.
Right. So I'll pull this from one of the other sources I shared. And this is from medium.com. And it talks about why these companies are doing this kind of thing.
All right. Enlighten me.
Be woke or go broke. Kind of thing, right?
I see
that's the way they spin it. And now they say that conservative states are less populated than progressive states, and they're gearing
fucking
up.
Oh my god,
they're gearing
shocker
up.
Of shockers.
So so progressive states, you know, they're saying that they're gearing up for Gen Z to be the, you know, they're going to be the demographic that they need. Well, they are the demographic that they're trying to go after, right? Because this article was written in 2019, and it talks about in 2020, Gen Z will make up 40% of the consumer base.
What?
No,
consumer base of what product?
I disagree with that because I can try and look. I don't know if I'll find it in time for this episode, but all the data that I've seen across a lot of, like, so across media consumption, across shopping in general, Gen Z is not spending money. They don't want to. I'm not saying
they don't
spend
have
money.
It.
Well, there's that.
They don't have it. They're working for the cheapest jobs ever. They're not like the boomers.
Right. Exactly. So that's, we're, were making my point even stronger. So yes, these people saying this, well, we're doing it because in strict business sense, if you take away the woke part, you should pander for your largest customer base. That makes sense. You need to make the most money possible. You need to try. You're never going to please everyone. It's impossible. So try to please the most amount of people that you think will make your business more successful. But sure, going after this bigger, quote unquote, bigger base, they're not making more money. Their revenue's going down.
It's because they are listening to they're ignorant. They're literally ignorant. They're listening.
I don't believe that. I don't.
They're in echo chambers, man.
Dude, they have so much analytics, it would make our heads spin. I do not believe that they're ignorant.
Well, then the only thing left is malice.
Well, maybe it's stupid human decisions. By ignorant, I mean they have data to know this is true. That's what I mean. Their data is there.
Well, the only thing left is...
Go ahead.
All right, what's the other thing? No, what's the other thing?
Well, I was going to say that the people that... Well, this kind of goes with what Snow was saying. The people that are making the decisions, they're progressive themselves. They're
ideologically possessed.
Yeah.
They don't care about money. I mean, they care about money to an extent. They've accepted... Like, as long as I make this much and it doesn't just absolutely fucking tank, then I don't care. I don't want to make more money. I just want to make some money and not go broke. So they're perfectly happy pushing an agenda, an ideological agenda, and not making as much money as last fiscal year quarter.
They're making the world a better place.
Right, because they're doing the right thing.
But they're not even winning hearts and minds. They're not. I was gonna go Twitter.
There's
so much data that shows they're not.
Twitter says right. We're on the right side of history. Twitter told me.
It baffles my mind. Because I was gonna go there next. Not only are they not making money, but you have to go by. Go ahead.
Nope, I'll hold that one on you.
No, I was just gonna say there's so when you talk about ratings, it's all self-reported, right? You cannot prove that the ratings are genuine. You can't prove people aren't lying. You can't prove that people are who they say they are.
Sure.
It's been the same way since the 50s and 60s with Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, since the beginning.
So
yep.
I'm going with that. That still applies. But if you look at the reviews on like Netflix shows, for example, we use Netflix, and you look at a show that is written to, you know, I'm not saying it's written to be hateful, but it's not written with the first forefront to be woke pandering, right? It's written to be a show. Like, right. We'll use Squid Game again, or even like a more reality show, like Great British Baking Show, right? I personally, I like that show too. I'm not shitting on it. But these shows
Go back to the shows that were before woke culture, like Seinfeld.
Well, right. That's a different... I think you're going to go somewhere. Let me finish this and we'll go there. What I'm saying is those shows pull better and do better with the quote unquote woke crowd that stuff like this is trying to grab. Like you have people that report as trans or gay, whatever it is, and they love Squid Game or they love Great British Baking Show or they love this. There is nothing in those shows that props those people up and tries to pander to them. They don't treat them like dumb children and say, look what we're doing for you. They don't do that, and they still win. So these companies doing this shit have to see that. That data is out there.
It is, but they don't care, you see. Because, and I'll use this as an example, right? I'm a veteran. I love when things pander to me, to veterans. To an extent, there's some it's like, all right, well, that's cringy. Dial it back there. Oh crap. What's that guy that wrote Proud to Be an American? I can't remember.
Oh, Toby Keith.
No, Lord Jesus.
God, what's his name?
I can't remember.
Anyway,
that's gonna bother me.
Yeah, whenever it goes like so far, it's like, okay, all right, that's good. I got it. Thank you. I appreciate it. But it goes so far and it's like, I know you're pandering to me. This doesn't mean anything anymore. But I like, everybody likes a little bit of attention and stuff like that.
Lee Greenwood.
And
so,
I love it.
Lee Greenwood, yes, thank you. Dial it back there, Lee Greenwood. Calm down.
For once, I wish I could watch a show and then, like, the big twist, the big reveal is, you know, someone coming out as a veteran.
Right? So that's the thing, right? Big reveal. Homosexuals and transvestites or transgenders or whatever, they're dumb too, and they like attention too, just like I do. Everyone does. Yeah, everyone likes a little attention about attention. That thing that makes them a little different. Sure. Yeah. Sure, but it only goes so far. That's what woke culture hasn't caught on to yet. It's like, it only goes so far. Hold up, pump the brakes. I don't need a whole show devoted to the fact that I wanted to cut my cock off and call myself a woman. No offense, but I mean, whatever. Well, I mean, yeah. Hating, but it is what it is. It's like, did you need a whole show to celebrate that? Or did you just need that small little bit to let you know that you're not absolutely insane, right?
Well, right. It's like Long Beach Griffey, the YouTuber. I know D, you and I like him. Ethan, you may have seen him too. He does skits, but he does vlogs that are serious or more serious. He still jokes, but he did a vlog several months ago, where he was talking about like a serious, like, he's like, I hate that shows that have black leads in it are always about racism. It's like, I hate it. I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore. He's like, I've dealt with racism in my life, the real kind. I've dealt with this and this. I want to escape. Why can't you give me a black lead that just fights monsters? Or right.
Let it go.
Right. I want equality in the sense that the white leads, they fight monsters. They don't worry about racism or doing the patriarchy. They just kill monsters. But when it's my turn and I have a cool black character, I don't get to fight monsters or do this. I have to dismantle the patriarchy.
I got
to
fight racism. Yeah.
Right.
I have to fight some systemic problem.
Yeah. And that's only one person's voice, but I would be willing to bet there are a lot of people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way. Like,
who is this guy?
Long Beach Griffey. He mostly does. He pushes the envelope hard. He does comedy skits.
Yeah. Prepare yourselves, children.
Yeah. But I feel like that's a common thing. He wants representation, which that's good and that's natural. He want, like you said, he wants to feel special. And I'm sure there are people out there that are, whether they're, you know, Asian or male, female or gay or trans or anything, that they want a show. I mean, they want to see themselves in a show, and that's fine. That's normal. You want something to be about you. But I promise they're also out there thinking the same thing. Like, they're like, it feels like you're being treated like a child. You're like, I'm an adult. I don't need you to sit here and tell me I'm special and rub my ears and, like, let me be an adult.
Right.
Like,
just acknowledge my existence, and I'm pretty content with that. Just to be like, hey, you know what? There's a group of people who put the country ahead of themselves. I'm like, yep, cool, thank you, that's good. No more.
the argument that someone would have would be, why do we have so many war movies?
Because oh man, war is so primitive. Well, yeah, it's so primitive, man. It's just, oh god, that's a whole nother
podcast. You get a visceral reaction. It's everyone can understand it. Everyone's heard about it, been through it, have someone that's been through it, some version of something. It's very easy to portray. Taps into that part of us we can understand, and like,
it's like paying taxes, man. Everybody knows about it,
right? And people can enjoy it, not in the sense of you like people dying, but people can understand it. And this, I'm gonna include myself in this group, like an art film. There's plenty of art films out there I'm too stupid to understand. Some people understand them, that's great, it's fine, but I don't understand them. They don't appeal to everybody. Whereas if you have a war movie, even if you don't like it, you can hate war movies, you can think they're dumb, you can think they're childish, you can think whatever, you still understand the premise of it. You understand what's going on. There is no thought required, right? So it's yes, there's more of them, but it's a least common denominator type of thing. It's a lot of it's filler, and a lot of war movies are bad. Why do you think action movies have such highs and such lows? Like, because they're easy to make and everyone makes them. There are some action movies out there that are the worst fucking pieces of shit you will ever see. And then there are really good ones. Like, I like the John Wick series. I think that's a good example of a good action movie. But then you, for every, you know, for John Wick, you have one really good movie. for that one, you have 1800 Steven Seagal and fucking whatever that other guy, that ripoff, where they're just churning them out.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, they're common, but that's not a I feel like some extreme people, and I do think they're the extreme. They're the vocal minority that just want to hear themselves yell. They're not trying to be genuine. They say, well, there's too many of those, and there's not enough of movies about a queer black man who's a one-legged artist. And it's like, well,
because that is 0.0125% right, of the population. Exactly. And even you get that whole population, a third of those maybe will watch that movie. So it's just, that's not going to make any money.
Yep. It's not going to make any money. Everything's driven by money, like we said earlier.
It's a good story.
It's going to be a hell of a story.
I mean, well, that's a valid point.
Most people can't relate. They can't relate. I'm not a trans whatever non-ambulatory.
You're not. You're not a superhero either. I want to say like you can have a good movie that has that as the character. It doesn't mean. I think that's part of the problem when people talk about this subject is they go to the extremes. They say, well, you can never have a good movie that has that as the character. That's not true. It can be good, but it's frequently not good lately because of the reasons we just lined out with Superman, for example. They're not trying. They're not putting in real effort. They're pencil whipping it. They're ticking a box to look at the Twitter hashtags. They're not trying to make a good movie.
Like they're doing movie superhero diversity hires, really. I mean, if we're going to get right down to it, they're checking the boxes. They're like, oh, he got this. All right, let's make a hero out of this and call it a day.
Ironically, they're doing the same thing that made, black people, I'll use them, for example, from what I've read at least, made them feel marginalized, the token black guy joke, right? They're doing the same thing, and they don't realize it. Like, that's what made people feel upset. Yeah, it's like
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say you have the one black guy. He gets one line and then he dies. Right? He serves no purpose to be in there other than you tick the box that your director said you have to have a minority. And I could, I can't empathize directly, but I can try to put myself in that headspace. And if growing up that's all you ever see, that would kind of suck. But they're doing the same thing now, just the other way. Like they're not solving the problem. They're not trying to help people.
It's the quiet tyranny of low expectations. Quiet
tyranny. That's exactly what it is.
It's diabolical, really. Mm-hmm. Really, it is. Because, you just expect them to just, we'll just be black or just be gay and that's your superpower. Really? That's it? Right. That thing they were born with? That's all? Come on.
Yeah.
They don't do anything else?
Right. It's if you came to me, and I feel like this is the case with a lot of people, if you came to me and said, this guy's white and he's a
straight white male.
He's a straight white male and that makes him good at this. I'm like, all right, that's boring as fuck. What does he do?
All right, pass.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's plenty of movies out there that are like that. And
he's good at being racist.
this is not entertaining. Who cares?
Yeah, well, so that brings up, I don't have the tweet in front of me. It was being made fun of, and rightfully so in my opinion. There was a tweet by someone that had like one follower. They got like two retweets and they were saying it wasn't you or your wife, actually. It was someone that said They were like, hey, I'm trans and the gaming community is horrible because I made this Metroidvania and all the journalists are ignoring me. No one will return my calls. This is why gaming culture is toxic. And they're portraying it as though they're being ignored because they're trans. And then the arguments I saw against it, which I agree with completely, are no, you're being ignored because A, you have no backing. B, let's be honest, your game is shit. Not because you're trans, but because you're an inexperienced person with no game dev experience. And C, you're making the most saturated game type out, a Metroidvania. You can fucking throw a stick on Steam
and hit five games of them. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. and they're all shit. And they're made by most of them are made by straight white people, straight white males, and they're still shit because there's so much out there. Why would people want to play your game? you have to differentiate. They want to be differentiated on, like you said, just because of their skin, which is racist. Or they want to be differentiated on just because of their disability, or just because ideology, of their sexual preference, anything. Or their ideology. Yeah. Why?
No, it's pick me ramped up to 10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wrong to judge someone purposely, like, you're black, I'm not going to talk to you. The reverse of that is also true. You should not just look at someone and say, well, you're black, that means you're 100% right. Like, no.
I'm going to talk to you.
Right. You have a pin. We get along, or we have stuff in common. That doesn't say be mean to people. Again, for the people in the back that are going to call me racist, I just said don't judge someone just off their skin and be mean to them. I'm not saying to do that, but I'm also not saying that that gets you an award, no matter what it is. It's people shouldn't feel pressured to be friends or to buy your product. It's if you have a good product or if they want to support you, then they will. It's a choice. You don't get. It's not a fucking welfare system because of your defining characteristics. Like, I don't know. I know this is this good, is this no, is not.
That's a really good. That's a really good take. That's a quote. That's pretty good.
That's the right take.
Yeah, that's the right take.
That's the right take, by God.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. To wrap up my point, I think companies are going to. I predict in the next 2 to 3 years, there's going to be a downward trend. I think it's already going down some, but I think there's going to be a continued downward trend in the not genuine hashtag, you know, lottery, right? Where they literally just go on Twitter and try to write a movie that lines with the hashtags. I think there will be good movies that come out that have representation. I think people will like them, but I think we're going to see less and less of this, you know, oh, look what I did. Look at my main character. Look at this, because they're not making money. And the bar keeps getting raised. Like, that's not good enough. It's not good enough for the vocal minority that don't truly care about your product that you included this character that's diverse or that matches them. It's not good enough because you didn't also give them a pet owl. Like, it's ludicrous shit like that. It's like, oh, right. Well, you made this character that's just like me, but their sneakers aren't yellow. That's
they just want to destroy your product.
It's like, right. What the fuck? These people just want to tear you down. They're unhappy. They're insecure. They're mentally ill. They're XYZ. They just want to tear. They want to tear everyone and themselves down. They're not your market. But I don't know. I guess.
And that is social media, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. I'm kind of glad to see social media be brought under more of a scrutiny. I mean, people are still, you know, you'll see a lot of the, well, all social media is bad except for my preferred platform. Like, you'll see people shit on Reddit, but they're like, well, I'm on Facebook and I like it. Or you'll see people say Facebook's boomers, I'm on Reddit, it's enlightened. You still see that shit. But I do feel like overall, more people are waking up to the fact that social media can be a useful tool. You can see a lot of corgi pictures, for example. It's awesome. But you also get a lot of shit thrown at you, and you get inundated with stuff that is false. And even if you try to be educated about your opinion, and not let this happen, you can let yourself fall into an echo chamber. It's easy to do. You can start seeing a bunch of shit that aligns with your worldview. It's patently false, but because it makes you feel good, you kind of let your guard down a little bit. You go, yeah, that is right. And then a week later, you find out it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. And we can...
And confirm.
We can have another show about how... society has been engineered to handle. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know how social media, or let's take Reddit for instance. You know, they post articles, and you're basically just reading the headlines. That's how you read.
Right. No, yeah. No one ever reads the article. They read the headline. Right. And reads comment the article. On it.
Because we read something, we go to the next one. Right. And it's just, you know, information as fast as you can send it to us. Like, mm-hmm. how can anybody decipher, you know, how can you even begin to wrap your head around all the, you know, details and everything that are being thrown at you, right? Because, you know, I've just scrolled through my phone and I've just seen 10 different fucking headlines that all say something that, you know, may be similar or they may be about different subjects, but they've all fed me information and they're set up to be in my feed. And so they're, you know, whatever stance that I have, they're reinforcing that, and I'm not ever going to get outside of that. But that, I kind of went off on a tangent there. Sorry about that. But, yeah,
I think that's something, a valid point, and it's something we can, I would like to address it. I'm sure it's something
the echo chamber effect.
It's hard. I mean, I think it's very important to put yourself in uncomfortable situations and actively try to hear the other side. Yeah. And it's hard because if it's something you're passionate about and you're hearing the other side, it can make, it makes me angry sometimes. Even not, I don't even mean politics. I mean, tech, like, let's just take technology. Like, I'll talk to someone that swears up and down they use XYZ and I use ABC and I think XYZ is a piece of shit. And it's, you know, I can, hearing people talk about technical stuff that I'm convinced, sometimes I'm convinced they're wrong two sentences in, and it's super difficult for me to pull myself back out and say, well, listen, you're not this fucking genius that knows everything. They could be right. You got to actually give them a chance. You have to actually listen to them. And that's difficult. Yeah. And it's difficult for everybody. And it you know, it's why echo chambers are powerful. We like to feel right. We like to be told we're right.
You know what? It sucks. It sucks knowing you're wrong and going, God, fuck, I'm wrong.
Oh, it's bitter. Yeah.
I got to eat that. I got to eat. And then it fucking sucks. And it makes you real. If you're smart, it makes you careful to make claims and generalities and paint with that big, wide roller brush, you know, on folks. Makes you real hesitant to do that. But
I think, I think to loop this back in to what we were talking about, I think that it almost enforces, it does enforce that. Like, you know, Superman's son being bi, you know, it enforces that, you know, leftist kind of echo chamber, right? Because of these, you know, big companies or, you know, whatever are doing these woke things, then they feel right, and they feel like, oh, okay, this is happening, so I must be doing something right. My voice is being heard. But what happens when that falls apart? Snow, you said you think that in a couple of years that, you know, we're going to see some either, I don't necessarily think it'd be like a backtrack, but it will be there'll be diminishing.
I think it'll normalize. It'll normalize.
Normalize.
Back.
Sure. There you go. That's a better word.
I think it will have shifted, though. I think the Overton window, if you will have shifted. It will come back a little bit. It'll rebound, but the net effect will be a shift.
Maybe. I don't know.
So in 2 years, usually what happens. We'll be considered batshit crazy, I'm sure, if we're not already.
Man, I've been batshit. I've been considered many awful things legally by the government since like 2006. So
it's believable.
I'm way ahead of y'all.
It's believable.
We'll catch up. We're still stretching.
So yeah. I don't know if, you know, if we do normalize, you know, will this calm down? Will it calm down? Will all, like, the negativity coming from both sides ever calm down? Will
yes, we find it will, like because
a middle ground?
I don't know about that. I don't know if there'll be a middle ground, but the animosity will calm down because there is a fatigue factor. No matter how fervent you are, there's a fatigue factor. And everything's a pendulum. Everything swings back and forth. Unfortunately, I think to kind of play off what Dee said, it's sometimes the momentum causes it to swing harder. So like we swung 10 paces to the left. Not saying leftist as Democrat, I just picked a direction. We swung 10 paces to the left, and now it's going to swing back, but this time it's going to swing 12 paces to the right. And then it's going to swing back, and now it's 13 paces to the left. So it's going to keep getting bigger, but there will be swings. And we're not stuck in this. The way things are today, is not the way things will always be. Everyone always thinks it. Everyone gets in this, you know, doom and gloom mentality of, oh, we're never going to get out of this. And time again, it changes. But it changes to the other side or the other opinion, and then it changes back to a modified version of the opinion it was, you know, 4 years prior. So I think getting to a middle ground is going to be harder and harder because of technology and because of, like you said, how freely we can share information and how much information's out there. I don't know that it's going to be impossible to get to a middle ground, but I think it gets harder and harder every year, depending on what the topic is.
I don't know. In my opinion, things have only ever moved one direction. It doesn't matter if it's moved 10 paces that way and then 9 paces back. Net effect, it moved one pace that direction. So it's only ever moved one direction. It just oscillates back and forth. But net effect, it's still that one direction.
And what is that?
Left.
Okay.
You asked.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I tried to keep it ambiguous, but hell no, you had to ask.
I thought you were going to say communism.
Well, I mean,
no true communism.
So I've got in my notes here, and I am going to say this, but I don't really care about diversity. I don't give a shit. I don't care about it. I don't see
it. Don't you know it's our strength?
I don't see it at all. I have always held this belief, and call me crazy, but everybody is a human being, full stop. That's it. That's as far as I go. That's it.
Okay.
I have 2 kids. They're both girls.
You are outnumbered 3-1.
I am outnumbered 3-1.
That is not a very diverse house.
4-1 now, because my dog is also female.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, you know, when I think about them growing up, I think about them having opportunities and what kind of opportunities they will have as they get older. And, I want them to have every opportunity that anybody else has, which I think most parents feel that about their children, I would hope. There's always shitty parents out there that don't.
Sure.
That idea didn't come about when I had kids. I had it before I had kids. Having 2 girls didn't make me think, we need to change things. You know, we need to make sure that they get every opportunity. You know, I've always felt that everybody, no matter color, skin, gender, whatever, beliefs, who cares? They're all human beings, and everybody should have the same opportunities as everybody else. So equal opportunity, yes. Equal outcome, no.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Equal
outcome's impossible.
You have to, you get what you put in. And
random luck, you know, too.
Yeah, random luck, too. You know, shit sucks. It's going to suck. Yep. Always sucked, will suck.
That's life.
That's life, baby.
That's life. I mean,
yeah.
But so that's not gonna stop these idiots from trying to normalize outcome.
Right,
and they will literally defy nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To that end, they will defy nature. To that end, they'll just be like, "Nope, but there's got to be a way we can do it." It's like, there really isn't. People make decisions for reasons. Some people are just fucking lazy. They don't want to. They want to be homeless. They want to be. They want it. They literally want it. I can't help you. I don't know what to tell you. They want it. They prefer it. You can't help them. You will not eliminate this. The poor will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Yep. I'm sorry. I hate it. But it is.
But I just wish that people could be more like that. I'm not. So
I used to be.
Yeah. Maybe they used to be, but you know, I'm not saying I want people to be more like myself. I just want people to have that. I don't want people to care about diversity. Not in the sense of, you're gay or you're not gay. Diversity of thought, yes, absolutely. that's why we do this podcast. I mean, that's why I'm not doing it by myself, because it's better to have diversity of thought. Because
so I do think there's value for diversity of thought. I think there is value in ensuring you have not everyone from the same walk of life. Because while those people will have different thoughts, it's going to be sort of homogenous, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have same backgrounds, same whatever. So mm-hmm. I can see value in bringing other people to the table. Mm-hmm. However, it depends on, the answer is always it depends, right? If we're talking about, I'll use my own profession, a highly skilled technical job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as being a philosopher or being a politician or, you know, being a writer. Like there are concrete things in my job. It is right or wrong. It is not up for debate. It works or it doesn't work. You fix it or you break it. And just because you have a different way of thinking does not mean your opinion is valuable. Now, should you be squashed and should you be, you know, not allowed to speak? No, of course not. You should be allowed to try, but you shouldn't be celebrated for trying all the time. Like, I agree with you that you should have an opportunity, right? You shouldn't look at someone and their resume and say, well, this dude's black or this person's a trans Asian. We're not going to, nope. I mean, if they have the qualification and they pass the interview, fine. But it's an equal opportunity. It's not an equal outcome. You shouldn't give them the job when they fail the interview and can't do the job over someone else just because you're trying to tick a box. Because again, it's not about being fair at that point. It's about making yourself feel better, or it's about pencil whipping that box to get your raise because you're the most diverse manager in the company.
There's monetary reasons they do that. Funding reasons they do that.
Yeah.
We have to have so many of this race, this sexual orientation, this blah, blah, blah.
Systemic racism.
Or we don't get funding. Right.
In full circle.
So it's back to money now. We've made it about money, and if you don't do this, then you don't get as much money. And it's the same fucking story over and over and over. They have monetarily skewed things and insulted people, whether they know it or not, by putting them in jobs that they're not qualified for. And putting them in positions that they should not be in, and, you know, giving them responsibilities that they should not have because of a characteristic that they were produced with. How's that fair?
They're trying to force the quality of outcome.
How's that fair? I ask, how is that fair? Like, let's think about the word fair. How is that fair?
It's not.
I contend it is completely unfair. You set them up for failure, and then when they do fail, you're going to blame everyone else but yourself.
Well, you also, on the flip side, you will engender bad feelings with people that will feel like,
yes. So if you set them up for failure.
Mm-hmm. So you set them up for failure. They fail, and then a person that works with them is like, you know,
they go,
and it's worse all around.
It confirms that bias.
It does. So it does. I would take two approaches for the people that are just mean. We'll just say mean. It confirms their bias. They get meaner. There's that piece. Even for the people that really try, that are trying to be nice, they see their team fail. Maybe they even like that person as a teammate, but they know they can't do the job and they see them fail. There are some empathetic people out there. That bothers them. Mm-hmm. They're seeing this person do a job they know they
it
can't do.
It should bother them.
Yeah, and they feel bad. They feel bad that person is failing. So it's a lose, no matter how you slice it. Everyone loses except for the person that got the bonus because they brought in XYZ.
I hate it.
Money fucked it up.
Money
fuck, yet again.
Money, yeah. Money fucked.
We should it just up change this podcast to Money Fucked It Up.
Yep. Money fucks everything up.
Money ruins everything.
Everyone the love hates, of it, I see. Yes, everyone I should change hates it to money. The love of money has ruined everything.
Yeah, the love of money. Yeah. Well, fuck.
Well, with that, we've kept you guys for quite a while. Hope you made it through the whole thing.
If this know, doesn't
hip thrust that like button. Oh wait, we're not on YouTube. Hip thrust damn that it
motherfucking like button.
Yeah, subscribe, please, if you want to hear more shit that's going to make you sad. tune in next week to Chode House, where we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's. Just kidding.
Human chimeras.
We'll be talking about Bambi's mother dying and how that applies and how that applies to CRT. So tune in next time. It's been fun.
You can been fun. You can catch us on. We have a YouTube channel now. You can catch us out there, Chode House. Twitter, Chode House Podcast. Gab, Instagram. You know, just fucking
everywhere. Just everywhere. Do everything.
Do all the things. Press all the buttons. I don't care.
It's been fun, D. It's
my
been
engagement.
Fun. My engagement. My numbers. Engagement.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Talk to y'all later.